Also, I love the fact that that CBS News reported last week that had the minimum wage kept up with productivity gains since 1968, the height of the minimum wage would now be like $26 an hour, something like over 50 grand a year. And you go, yeah, we've known that for a long while. Thank you for reporting what we've already known. Thank you for telling us that corporate America has suppressed wages, stopped workers from organizing so that they can't get wage increases. And oh, by the way, lobbied for laws and regulations that allow them to suppress wages even further, especially in service industries. But thanks for telling us what we already know. The reason that they're telling us is because the rest of us have figured this out and there are people who've had enough of it. And it's about time. I've been calling this for years. I'm here to share some thoughts on the workers who have had enough of it. I've asked Saru Yaraman to come talk with us. Saru is the president of One Fair Wage, their website, onefairwage.org. Saru, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm looking at this report and I'm going, we've known this. This isn't news, is it?
No, it's absolutely not news. But what I think is the best news ever is that I think workers are finally in the millions waking up to this as well. It's not just those of us who've been talking about it for a long time. It's workers. And maybe they didn't also know this, but they finally reached a point where they're saying we are just not going to put up with it anymore.
Especially people in the service industry. It's always amazing to me. And I'll be honest, maybe it's because of me just being an old white guy who would never put up with people's nonsense. But I see some of the stuff that wait staff has to put up and has put up with for years in restaurants, the kind of things that bartenders have had to put up with. And I go, I would never tolerate that kind of behavior. And now we're seeing that behavior that was bad before magnified 100 times worse. It's no wonder people don't want to go back to those jobs, especially with poverty wages.
That's right. I mean, it's almost more incredible, if you think about it, that people put up with it for this long. You know, this dates back to emancipation. The subminimum wage for tipped workers, which is still a ludicrous $2.13 an hour today, is a direct legacy of slavery created at emancipation when the restaurant industry came upon the brilliant idea that they could hire Black workers who were newly freed slaves, not pay them anything, and have them live entirely on tips, which was a mutation of the concept of tipping. Tipping was something that originated in feudal Europe as an extra bonus on top of the wage. It came to the States, and the restaurant industry thought, wow, we can use this new workforce that's come out of emancipation, newly freed, and get them to actually continue with slavery by working for nothing and living completely on tips, mutating the notion of tips from being an extra or bonus on top of a wage to becoming the wage itself.
Yeah.
That was a $0 wage. We went all the way up $2 over 150 years to a $2 wage. And as you said, over that 150 year period, you had a mostly female, very low wage workforce living on $2, putting up with very high rates of sexual harassment and hostility and all kinds of issues for 150 years. It took the pandemic, which really exacerbated those issues. Tips went way down. Sexual harassment and hostility went way up from customers. And workers finally said, it's just not worth it anymore. You don't pay me enough to put up with this level of hostility. And there has been a mass exodus from this industry during the pandemic, leading to thousands of restaurants, including those that have fought this and said they could never do it, that they would shut down if they had to pay this wage. Thousands of restaurants now paying a full wage. I've heard 12, I've heard 13, I've heard 15. I've even heard of restaurants paying $30 an hour because they can't get workers to come for anything less.
Yeah.
And somehow they're still open. Somehow they're managing to survive paying workers a living wage.
It's quite remarkable. But we've got a name for this period. It's the Great Resignation, Saru.
Right.
Everyone's resigning because, look, there are jobs out there. There are options that I think in the past most people didn't think they had.
That's right.
You know, when you have options, you're going to take a better one.
I think that's part of it. But I got to tell you, for a lot of our people, it's not like they, A, got unemployment insurance. 2/3 of our workers didn't get unemployment insurance to begin with, because in most states, they were told their subminimum wage of $2 or $3 was too little to qualify for benefits. So it's not like they were given the option to stay home and do nothing. The other options a lot of people faced were go back to school, perhaps. Some went to work for gig companies, Uber, Lyft. Some went to work for Walmart or warehouses. Some went to work for grocery stores. But so it wasn't like the options were fabulous. But I guess what I'm saying that's so important to note is that workers were basically saying anything else or nothing at all is better than working in this industry. That is an incredible statement for millions of workers to make at once en masse. Essentially, they went on strike. And they're saying anything or nothing at all is better than this.
And that's fabulous. It's, again, as someone who's a labor guy, it's something that I've been calling for decades. We need to have this moment. I think we're looking at the possible reset of the working class to where people finally realize that they have some power and that these employers they're not benevolent dictators, that we can fight against them and we can do better. But I think politics has some of this to do with it as well, because, there was a story that I love. Joe Biden was in Ohio, giving a speech back in July, and some restaurant owner asked him about, hey, how are you going to help us get workers back into here? And he basically told them, raise your wages.
That's right. That's right. We were so thrilled to hear that. Yes.
Brilliant. Who would have thought of it?
He didn't just say that. He actually said, my sister-in-law works as a tipped worker in Atlantic City. She gets what? $7 plus tips. He said, people aren't going to put up with that anymore. They want $15 an hour plus tips. So it is wonderful when the president gets it, when they're not buying the rhetoric that these workers are home, staying home, collecting unemployment insurance. Listen, we just did a massive study of these workers. We surveyed 3,000 workers who are left working in the industry. Mind you, millions left last year. From those that are left, 53% of 3,000 workers said they're leaving. And 80% said the only thing that would make them stay is a livable wage with tips on top. Then, responding to this ludicrous argument that they're staying home collecting unemployment insurance, we looked at states where they had prematurely cut unemployment in order to get workers to go back to work. Guess what we found? An even higher percentage of workers, 57% of workers in those states said, we're leaving, we're not coming back. And over 80% said, the only thing that would make me go back is a $15 wage with tips on top. So on the contrary, it is not people staying home collecting unemployment insurance. It is exactly what Joe Biden said. The only way to get people to go back to work in this industry is to actually pay them what they deserve, what they need to live on. And frankly, what they deserve based on their skill and their professionalism. These are workers who served us for the last 150 years, who served us through the pandemic, who allowed us, many of us, to stay home and get delivered delicious meals. These were workers who risked their lives for hospitality and to serve us. And they deserve to be paid a living wage, and they're not going to put up with anything less.
Yeah, but we're in this moment where, some of those economic models that we learned in economics 101 are coming to play. You can't find workers. The only way that you're going to attract good people to the industry is pay them better wages. And if paying a little bit more doesn't get them, you got to pay a little bit more. That's the world that we're in. And conservatives should be applauding this moment because it's what they tell us they believe and what they us how things should work. So it's interesting to me that we're pushing, and trying to guilt people into going into poor wage jobs, especially ones that are poor treatment jobs. It's amazing to me that that's their position at this moment.
Somebody said to me, I thought these people were capitalists. I thought they understood the law of supply and demand. And to call it a labor shortage demonstrates a misunderstanding of supply and demand. Calling these 14 million workers who don't want to work for $2, calling it a labor shortage, somebody wrote a beautiful article saying it's sort of like saying there's a shortage of Mercedes-Benzes for $1,000. There's no shortage of workers. There's a shortage of people willing to work for $2 an hour anymore.
Yeah.
They're just not going to put up with it. And I got to tell you, there are restaurant owners who are leaders of the National Restaurant Association, which is the trade lobby that has lobbied since emancipation to keep these wages as ridiculously low as they are. Unfortunately, Rick, it is the same trade lobby that even some Democrats in the Senate are rolling over to when they are blocking the Federal Raise the Wage Act. This is the lobby that is blocking the raise for 32 million Americans in Congress. Well, that trade lobby, many of its own leaders are now paying $13, $14, $15 an hour with tips on top. So I ask you, why do they keep fighting it if they're already paying it? I think many of them believe that they can go back to $2 in a year or so when things die down.
Yep.
And this is where they are so wrong, so mistaken. There has never been a time in U.S. history when employers have managed to roll back wages from 15 to 2 or that. It's just not going to happen. Either we raise the wage or we cut this industry in half because half the workers have left or are leaving.
Yeah, I don't know on a grand scale, but I do know that during the Clinton years, the fast food industry was paying like 10 bucks an hour at the time. And when Bush took office, they somehow got that back down to the minimum wage. So they were able to claw some back. Because one of the arguments that I'm making to people is, fine, your employer is giving you, $18, $20 an hour. Amazon just announced they're raising their starting wage to $18 an hour because they can't get anyone. I say right now is the time that you organize, you unionize, and you get that in writing.
Right.
Once you put it in a contract.
Let's unionize or let's get laws on the books to say this is the permanent wage going forward and it's going to be indexed so that it keeps rising with average wage growth.
Right.
Not with inflation, but with average wage growth. So we need both. We absolutely need unions and we absolutely need federal policy change to make sure everybody in the United States has a floor below which we are not going to go and we're not going to go back. And this is why I got to tell you, I have a lot of restaurant owners who work with us. Some are saying I've raised my wages and I am able to find workers. Some are saying I've raised my wages and I still can't get workers to come back. And they have joined us in calling for the federal bill to pass because they're saying, listen, I can't do it alone. I need the federal government to pass this law, A, to create a level playing field so Denny's and IHOP are also paying 15, not just me, small business restaurant owner, but also to send a signal to millions of workers that this is permanent change. It's not temporary. It's permanent change. Wages are going up and it's worth coming back to work in restaurants.
Yeah, but again, I come back to my view and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think having a union in the workplace gives workers empowerment so that you never have to go back to the conditions. And I'll be honest, my daughter went into the restaurant industry for a very short period of time, and I'm glad that she was one of the people who did the great resignation and is doing something else because I didn't want the kind of treatment for her that she encountered. She had no voice. She was powerless in that job other than to go, I quit, I'm not doing it. So for me, having that ability to stand up and speak out and not be fearful of being fired, to me, that's all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I agree. It's both and. It's why the Fight for 15 slogan has been 15 and a union. It's just that, Rick, there are millions of workers. We're not going to be able to help all of them unionize immediately. And so we do need the policy to set the floor. And then we need to organize everybody to have a union on top.
So let me ask you this, because, now I have found no one who thinks $2.13 an hour on the federal level is sane, is rational, is livable. In Pennsylvania, I think it's like $2.86 an hour, something marginally better. I know no one who thinks that that's enough. How do we get to a place where we make it on par with minimum wage and we raise the wage to somewhere near the sane level, which, again, I think tying it to productivity, not a bad idea, especially since CBS News is saying it'd be 26 bucks an hour today.
That's right. Well, the first thing we need everybody's help with is that there are 8 Democrats in the Senate, Democrats that have voted no on the federal Raise the Wage Act, which would raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour and end the subminimum wage for tipped workers and end the subminimum wage for workers with disabilities. That bill, yes, there are 42 Democrats who voted yes, but there are 8 Senate Democrats who voted no, and we need to keep pushing on them because they are listening to the National Restaurant Association, not to their own constituents who overwhelmingly, whether they're Republican or Democratic, you can poll people in America, they overwhelmingly support raising the minimum wage and ending the subminimum wage for tipped workers. You're right. People, nobody disagrees except for the elected officials, like these 8 Democrats, and their cronies in the National Restaurant Association. So we need help pushing on Senator Shaheen and Hassan in New Hampshire, Senators Tester in Montana, Senators Carper and Coons in Delaware, Senator King in Maine, and of course, Senator Manchin and Sinema, who are just kind of standing up for the Restaurant Association rather than their own constituents.
And this is the stuff that drives me crazy about Democrats, because Democrats are supposed to be the party of the working people. Look, I get when Republicans say that we should have no minimum wage laws, we should have no maximum hour laws. Hell, we got Madison Cawthorn coming out saying he wants to gut OSHA. I expect that from Republicans. I don't expect that from Democrats.
Well, and I think beyond not expecting it, I think all of the millions of people who turned out to vote in very large numbers last year in Georgia and Michigan and Pennsylvania, if they don't see some real change in their lives, in their economic situation, it's going to be very hard for us to say, please come back out to vote in 22 or 24. Yep. I mean, restaurant workers had a 12% voter turnout rate before 2020. We mobilized thousands of them to vote on this issue with the expectation that Joe Biden and the Democrats would deliver. If they don't, I really fear that we will lose the Senate and the House in 22. And so even if you don't care about these workers or their wages, if you care about democracy, if you care about making sure Donald Trump doesn't come back into office, if you care about voting rights or anything else, we have to deliver on the things that we said we were going to do as Democrats.
No, I absolutely do not disagree with you on that. Saru, let me ask you a last question, and kind of a sideball. Madison Cawthorn, the representative from North Carolina, tweeted out that he's going to put forth a bill to gut OSHA. A visceral reaction, thought? That's probably the right one.
Republicans, if they took control, would take us back to the Stone Age, as we know, where workers have no protections, no minimum wage whatsoever. I've been debating people on radio shows like this who say we shouldn't have a minimum wage at all. No protections. I mean, they really would have us return to slavery, Rick. They really would have us return to slavery. Because that is when a worker has no protections and barely any wage, what other name can you give it? What other name can you give it when you don't actually pay for your workers' labor, nor do you provide any protections? There's no other name. What they're asking us to do is to regress back 150 years to a time when we had no worker protections. And it's totally so tone deaf and out of step with their own constituents who are in this moment saying, we're not going to work for these jobs under these conditions.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Saru, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Thanks for the work that you guys do. I appreciate it. Hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Good stuff, Saru Yararaman. Make sure you check out their website, onefairwage.com. We'll get links out on social media how you can do that. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Time to talk.